Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently the parochial vicar of St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thank you. Glad to be here at Living Bread Radio.
It's great to have you here. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, in our discussion on the crucifixion. So question 104 of the UCAT asks, can you be a Christian without believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
You want the simple answer?
Yes.
No. So, that's one of the tenets of our faith, is that Jesus rise from the dead. And just as his death was a reality, it happened, so was the resurrection. He died in bodily form, and he also rose. So we believe in the resurrection of the body. It's a sure faith, and it's one of those faiths that we need to believe in, and it's also ultimately probably one of the most difficult things to grasp. So we hear in 1 Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. So, it's essential to our faith that Christ was raised from the dead, body and soul. And so if he wasn't, then for this entire 2,000 years, it's all been in vain. And the word vanity means emptiness. It's all been for nothing. And if that's true, then for you, anything that you've ever done or believed in, it means nothing. It's meaningless without the resurrection of the body.
That's well said, Father. I think it's one of the most important reasons to be a practicing Catholic, because only in the Catholic Church are we going to get the fullness of truth. And as I learn about other churches and other faiths and other teachings, they believe all kinds of things about Jesus Christ. They claim that, he might be their Lord and Savior, but what they believe about him, including that he didn't actually die.
You'll hear that from a lot of Catholics even today. It's the heresy that I kind of call the good guy heresy. They believe he was a good guy. So they believe he did exist, and he was a good guy, and he did a lot of good things, maybe even worked some kind of things that look like miracles, was pretty smart and brilliant, but that's all we can say, about that. No, our faith relies on that epicenter of his resurrection. If he didn't rise from the dead, then everything that he said, everything that he did, everything that he proclaimed was a waste. It was meaningless. And not only that, but it was a lie, because it all pointed to his resurrection, his ability to lead us and to overcome death and to rise us and restore us to new life. So I want to quote Benedict XVI. So our retired Holy Father, Pope Benedict, said, "The event of Christ's death and resurrection is the heart of Christianity, principle of our faith, powerful lever of our certainty, impetuous wind that sweeps away every fear and indecision, every doubt and human calculation." So all of it rests upon Christ's death and resurrection. So he had to rise. He did rise from the dead.
And again, that gives us confidence as followers and lovers of Jesus Christ, knowing that he did it ahead of us and for us. So we're going to be able to do it with his grace, overcome death and sin.
And maybe, maybe your death is a fear for you, and that's okay. That's a reality, I think, of our humanness. But talk about Christ with that. Talk to him about it, Even the disciples, when they first experienced the resurrection, it kind of happened in phases. They didn't know what was going on at first. They saw him but weren't quite sure if it was him. Doubting Thomas wanted to touch him. He said, "Lord, unless I touch you," so maybe for you to believe in the resurrection, maybe you need to touch the body of Christ. And so Thomas said, "Lord, unless I touch you, unless I put my finger into your side and my hands in your hands, I will not be a believer." And Jesus, in all humility, bows and reverences to Thomas's request. And he says, "Thomas, if that's what you need, come over here. Put your hand on my chest. Put your finger into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." You know, so you can be real with Jesus. If for some reason you're not believing and you say, Lord, I don't know. I don't believe it. I don't believe. Help me to believe. And you say, Lord, unless you show yourself to me, you know, unless I can see or unless you give me some kind of wisdom or sign or understanding, I can't believe. He's going to do it for you. You know, because he wants you to believe so much. He wants you to know in this great power of the resurrection.
So do we have any proofs, Father, of the resurrection?
Do we have any scientific proof? No. I mean, ultimately, we don't. You know, we have like the Shroud of Turin, which is a wonderful... it's the shroud that he was wrapped in, that his body was wrapped in, and it was found. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately, as they took pictures of it later on, they discovered that his image was still there within the cloth.
It's hard to believe it survived 2,000 years.
It is. It's amazing to believe that. You know, but is that proof of the resurrection? No, because it shows proof of his body. So it's proof that his body was wrapped up in there. And, you know, and we can kind of deduce the resurrection because they believe that, you know, the light and the heat and the power that emitted from that left his imprint on the cloth. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the resurrection, it's beyond this world. You know, he's rising into this eternal life. And so we'll never be able to prove it scientifically because we're limited with science to the material. And he passed from material into eternity. He passed from body and I mean, just from the physical into eternal life.
So once again, our faith is put to the test. In other words, we have to believe in something that we can't scientifically prove. But again, as I've looked at other religions and other teachings and other churches, Christianity is not only the most biblical, but it's also the most logical.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense that if God loved us as much as we're taught, and that he loves us more than we can imagine, not only did he send his son as the Redeemer, but he redeemed us by dying and rising from the dead in victory over sin and death. So it makes sense. It's
and
logical.
And so that we could have that potential now for rising ourselves, you know, for entering into that eternal life. You know, but in terms of, you know, if we look at wanting proof, you know, the greatest sign that he left us was the empty tomb of his resurrection. So when they came to find his body, what they found was the empty tomb. They found nothing. You know, so that's the greatest evidence or sign that we have, is that we don't have anything anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't find his body. You can't find his bones. You can't find, you know, he rose from the dead, and we're left with that emptiness. We're left with that void. And so that's where, obviously, all science is going to come up short, because you need something for science, and what we have there is an emptiness.
That's a good point, Father. I never thought of it that way. If there's no body to find, there's nothing to prove. You can't use that as evidence for proof. So did Jesus have a body after the resurrection?
So yes, we do believe in the bodily resurrection, so that Jesus rose. We believe in the bodily resurrection. So again, it's not like he rose and left his body behind as like a shell. You know. So again, they didn't find the body. What they found was an empty tomb. So from very early on, they came to this understanding that he rose, body, mind, and soul. You know, so he, when he rose into heaven, he was embodied. His whole spirit and body rose with him. So from the very moment of the conception, God became man, fully human, fully divine. And even in the resurrection, he remained that fully human, fully divine. Now, how that body, you know, once you go beyond time and space, how we make sense of that body, we don't really know what that means. I mean, that's entering into the mystery of eternal life. But we do know and believe that he was raised and is risen body.
Well, it's just like after the resurrection, on the first resurrection Sunday night, Jesus came into the room with the apostles. So how did his body,
he didn't come through the door. Yeah, it was a locked door. The disciples were there. They were hiding. They were fearful. And he walked through that locked door, and that's the first time that they saw him. And you know, just like the women, when they come to the women coming to see him at the tomb, they found the empty tomb, and then there was a gardener, and they said to the gardener, where'd you put his body? Right, they're looking for his body, like they remembered it, and they mm-hmm. think, we don't see it, so you must have taken it, and somebody must have stolen it. Where's the body?
Mm-hmm.
And the gardener, who is Jesus, you know, who they mistake for a gardener, says, it says the name Mary, you know, and then she says Rabuni, which means teacher. She recognizes him. So at first she couldn't, he didn't look the same way that he did in that kind of physical sense, you know. It was the resurrected body that she was now experiencing.
So she wasn't able to recognize him right away.
She didn't recognize him right away until he called her Mary, called her by name. And that's when she recognized it was the Lord.
And then he was on the shore when the disciples were out fishing, and they were fishing all night and didn't catch anything.
Same type of thing, yeah.
So they didn't recognize him at first.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it was the beloved disciple that finally realized, you know, it was the Lord. And Peter, they didn't recognize who it was. They saw the fire. They saw somebody there. And Peter, once he realizes it's the Lord, I mean, you think about it, they thought he was dead. And all they experienced was that emptiness. They couldn't see him. They couldn't find him. And then Peter realizes he's there on the beach with the fire.
But he didn't realize it till after the haul, right?
Until...
He listened to the Lord. He says, put the nets out on the other side.
Oh, after the haul, after they brought in all the fish. Yeah, right. So they bring in all these fish. And, you know, it was a miracle. It was this miracle because by their own accord, they could not do what they were supposed to do. These were fishermen, and they couldn't catch any fish all night long. And that's when, yeah, the Lord says, cast the net to the other side, and they bring up this, you know, this whole fish that should have broken the net, but they didn't. You know, the net was so full. And, but the most beautiful scene on the beach is when Peter is there with Jesus. And this was another place I visited in the Holy Land. I'll never forget being there on the shore of Galilee on the beach where they believe Jesus appeared to Peter. And Peter has that intimate conversation with the Lord. The Lord says to him, Peter, do you love me? And, you know, that's where Peter, he's the realest he's ever been. He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. And then he says, but when you grow older, you will go places that you do not need to go, and people will address you. And, you know, he's ultimately letting Peter know that you're going to walk the same path that I did. You're going to suffer body. Peter goes on to be crucified. But ultimately, he will go to the same place with him in the resurrection. So that's the great assurance that he gives us, that no matter any suffering or death we go through, just as real as that is, even more real is rising.
And I think even before Peter's conversation with Jesus, when the apostles come ashore, he says, give me something to eat, and he eats in front of them.
Yeah, so he eats right in front of them. So talk about a physical.
So he's not a ghost.
Talk about a bodily. He's not a ghost. He takes these fish and he eats with them. You know, right. So he's there. In the resurrected form of his body, yeah. So that's a great insight.
Great. Well, Father, thanks for sharing some of the insight for us on the resurrection of Christ and the fact that, yes, he did rise from the dead, and yes, he did have a body after the resurrection. You've been listening to Father Michael Denk. Father, you have a blog spot, don't you?
Yeah, it's fathermichaeldenk.blogspot.com. I'd love to have you there.
Great. So we've enjoyed going through the UCAT today. This is Tim Perry, your host on Faith with Father. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.